there's a specific genus of bamboo that grows in the Middle East, and it's called the Chinese bamboo tree. And I found out a lot about bamboo. Bamboo is actually a grass. It's not a tree. But the common name for it is the Chinese bamboo tree. And some of you may have heard of this tree. It's kind of unique. And we'll talk about that a little bit. But let me just start by saying a guy wants a Chinese bamboo tree for one reason or another. And so he decides that he is going to bury the seeds of this Chinese bamboo tree about 6 inches in the ground. And he waters this seed faithfully every single day. Okay, so he does this for a week. And after a week, nothing happens. And we'll talk a little bit more about the Chinese bamboo tree here in a moment. I'm both humbled and challenged to be speaking to you all tonight. My humility is that I get to speak to all of you wonderful people in this kind of setting. My challenge is that, as you all know, this quarter we're doing parables on Sunday nights, and so I want to be able to deliver a parable to you all without you going into hypnosis. If everybody would turn to Mark chapter 4, the reason that I say that is because we all have a tendency, it's a human tendency to take things that we know and we've heard over and over and say, I got it, I've heard this before, right? But as I tell my college students, and they're probably sick of hearing this, there's a big difference between knowing something here and knowing it here. How many know what I'm talking about? Big difference between knowing something here and knowing something here. Because when you talk about knowing something here, it's the idea that you grasp the concept, right? You get it. You understand it. To know something here is for it to really be in your body, and it's something you act on. And the key word is act, because it's only a foot, roughly, from here to here. But that span, I call execution. Because once you really know something in your heart, it's something that you're doing. And so as we look at Mark chapter 4, we're going to talk about one of these parables, and it's all about execution when it comes to this parable. The reason that I've titled the lesson what I've titled it is because we're going to talk about talking to others about Christ, okay? Now, that is said so many times, it kind of might become hypnosis when you say that to somebody. I'm going to call it spiritual socialization, okay? Or spiritually socializing. And more than just talking to others about Christ, the idea of spiritually socializing is the idea that it's not evangelism in the sense that you've got book, chapter, and verse, and you know this person you're going to go to, and you know all the words you're going to say, and you're going to bring them to Christ in that way. What we're going to say spiritual socialization is it's you in your everyday life just letting people see Christ through you. You know, talking to people about how the things that Christ has done in your life, talking to people about how He's blessed you in the past couple of days or week, telling people how you came to know Christ, telling people tomorrow about this amazing sermon that you heard last Sunday night. It's all of these things that we do on a regular basis just to let people know that we're Christians and to let our lights shine. So what we're going to read is a very small amount of text, and it's deceptively simple. And I think the worst thing that Satan can do to us is take the deceptively simple and make it complex in our minds. Because I think for myself, whenever I haven't talked to people about God in the past, and I by the way, I'm far from where I need to be. I can tell you I've grown because of some of the things we're going to talk about. But whenever I think of reasons that I fail, I mean reasons I just don't do it, even though I know to do it, it kind of comes down to, what if I'm not well-versed enough, right? I mean, I'm not well-versed enough, so I don't talk to people. What if I say the wrong thing? What if I do the wrong thing? And for me, all this comes down to is a fear of failure. You know, it's just a fear of not doing or saying the right thing. Now, if what we're going to look at is so simple, in really changing the world, how you change the world is how you change people, then why is it so complex, or why have we made it so complex? And so we're going to take a look at that, but we're going to go ahead and start with Mark chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 26. And we're kind of coming to a place where, just so you kind of know where we're at, Christ is roughly 31 years of age, and in the region that he's speaking right now, he's really gotten to know the people, and it reads kind of like he's come to the peak of his celebrity at this point. So lots of people know who he is, whether they like him or not, because we know some did and some didn't. He's come to the height of his celebrity. And so that brings us to a point where all these people are around, and there's so many people, we know the scene, right, where Christ goes out to a boat, and he's made the boat his stage, and the people standing on the shore are his audience. Now, if you back up just a little bit, you can see at the beginning of chapter 4 there that he gives the parable of the sower, which you might confuse these two, because this also involves a seed, even though it's much smaller. And the great thing about the parable of the sower in regards to our text tonight is he defines the parable of the sower. He explains the figurative language that's used, and we can use that same language as we look at this other parable that's of the secretly growing seed. So then after that, we have the parable of the lampstand in like verse 20-21. And he talks about how Christ is someone who, he's bright and he needs to not be hidden. The world needs to see who Christ is. And so you don't hide him. You spread him out to the world for everyone to see. So we're talking basically about evangelism this whole time. And that brings us right to where we are now. So let's look in verse 26. This is Christ continuing to speak in parables, and he says, he also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Now there's something very important to note here. The word seed is used throughout the New Testament, both figuratively and literally. And whenever you look at this verse and you look back at the original text, the word that's used for the word seed is the word sporon. And you think, well, why is that important? Well, this is really interesting because this word has both a verb meaning and a noun meaning, to put it in English terms. Because our words are verbs and nouns, they have words that actually are an action and a thing. And so when you look at the word sporon, it actually means seed to scatter. So it's a very specific form of seed. If you're looking in the King James or the New American Standard, it'll say cast, but it's basically the same idea. If you look at that Greek translation, though, it does say the word to scatter. Why is this important? When you see him talking figuratively about seed in terms of talking to someone about Christ planting the seed, you see this word sporon, which brings me to this point. It's always been a numbers game. Spiritually socializing has always been a numbers game. It's not this idea when you're talking about letting your light shine that you're going to specifically target one person and you've got this spiel already and you go to them to talk to them. It's how you live every day. Now, what I said earlier about this was now, you know, we have this fear of failure and now you're thinking, great, you've just told me now I got to be speaking to everyone about Christ. And if you already had the fear of failure, that's only going to uptick it a little bit, right? I mean, it's going to make you think, okay, now what do I do? And we will address that here in a moment. But it's important to note that when Christ talks about talking to others, about socializing spiritually, it's about talking to everyone. Okay, so let's go back to the Chinese bamboo tree here. So we've got the Chinese bamboo tree. The guy is, for whatever reason, he's growing it. He's been watering it for a week. Every single day, faithfully. Now he's been watering it for a month, every single day, faithfully. Now, as you can imagine, it's a seed you plant in the ground. It was a good seed. There was nothing wrong with the seed. He's watered it every single day. He's done the right thing. So, as you can imagine, after a month, nothing happens. Okay, we'll come back to that here in just a moment. But let's go ahead and move forward here in the scripture. Mark 4:27. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the guy who planted the seed sprouts and grows. But here's the thing, he doesn't know how it's happening. And in fact, he's not even there a lot of the time. So this is someone who's planted a seed, but they don't have to be around in order for there to be growth. How many know what compound interest is? Okay, if you don't really understand or grasp compound interest, you need to. Everybody should, whether you're in finance or not. The idea of compound interest is that you invest money, right, and you put it somewhere, and through the power of compounding, it grows, and it grows exponentially. So we've got 2 becomes 4, 4 becomes 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, 256, 512, 1,024. Go 10 more levels down, and you hit about $1 million, $1,000. It's explosive growth, and you're not doing anything. You're just leaving it there. And I think sometimes because we have heard parables over and over again and we go into this kind of hypnosis that we don't realize the power in which the words spoken contain. Because what this says to me is that if I invest, if I make a spiritual deposit, if you will, in someone's soul, if I make a spiritual deposit in someone's soul, I leave, and that investment continues to grow. And so I said that to say this because I use 5-cent words for whenever I think of something like this. It's spiritual compounding. It's the idea that all I have to do is do what God has asked me, what God has commanded me to do, and just spiritually socialize with people. That's not asking a lot. You know, it's just to, as we said before, let people know about God, and you're going to have spiritual compounding from planting the seed. See, I believe it is so simple, and God has set us up for success. And I'll say again, I think one of the great deceptions of Satan, specific to this right here, is that Satan has made it complex, and we have to believe that we are minister evangelists in order to bring people to Christ. And that's not at all what this is saying. We have to spiritually socialize with people, and he wants us to succeed so badly. We just take the action, and then he takes over from that point. Okay, so the bamboo. Okay, so we've been watering this thing for a week, every single day without fail. We've been watering it for a month without fail. Okay, now the guy's been watering it for a year without fail. Okay, this guy knows what he's doing. You know, he's focused. He doesn't miss a day. So as you can imagine, after a year of watering the Chinese bamboo tree, watering it every single day, it's a seed in the ground, he goes out one day after a year right to the spot where he's been watering, and nothing happens. We'll come back to that here in a moment. Let's go on. Okay, Mark chapter 4, verse 28, and I stopped at the beginning of 4:28 because 27 and 28 in my mind kind of go together, and I look at this and I see Christ really trying to make a point because he says in 27 that night and day this is growing. And he says, you know, it doesn't matter if you're out there. You don't even understand how it's happening. And then he says, all by itself, the soil produces grain. It seems to me that through redundancy, repetition, the mother of skill, that Christ is trying to say more than once, the growth doesn't have anything to do with you. The growth has nothing to do with us. So when you do make that investment, that spiritual investment in someone, we give it over to him, spiritual compounding takes place, and then it produces all by itself. Now we know what this is saying is that God causes the growth. Now earlier we said that we were going to address this idea that we feel like failures sometimes. We felt inadequate to talk to people. We have this fear of failure. We have this fear of not producing, you know, of people not coming to God because of our inadequacies. And to me, again, we've read this so many times, but if I just read what this says along with verse 27, this is really what it says to me. And that is, it's two things. Number one, we don't have the ability to produce growth. So why do we have to worry about that growth? Number two, we don't have the responsibility. We do not have the responsibility to force growth in people. We have no responsibility to force growth in people because that comes from Christ. And let me tell you, somebody who understood that very, very well, and that was Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, and I'm paraphrasing, but he's talking about him and Apollos and how Paul says that I sowed the seed and Apollos watered it, but it was Christ that made it grow. Christ made it grow. Myself or Apollos had nothing to do with that. And he even says, who am I? I don't cause it to grow. God causes that growth. So we don't have the ability nor the responsibility to force growth in others. Now, if you have fear that you are going to screw up and somebody is not going to come to God, you've really not placed that burden, if you want to say. You've not taken it off his shoulders and given it to him. It's really not having faith that he is going to be working in that person when you're not around and that he is going to determine the growth. Okay, so let's go back to the Chinese bamboo tree. The Chinese bamboo tree, the guy plants it, he waters it. It's been a week, it's been a month, it's been a year, it's been 2 years now. And after 2 years of watering the Chinese bamboo tree faithfully, as you can imagine, after 2 years of every single day and you've planted the seed in the ground, nothing happens. We'll come back to that here in a moment. And that is true. 2 years, nothing has happened yet. Mark 4:28, all by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the kernel in the head. Now, I love the idea and the concept that the Bible is divinely inspired by God. Every word is divinely inspired, comes through man from God. And so as I read this verse, this is one of those verses where he's basically saying the same thing over, that you put it in the ground and it grows, but he's saying it again in a different way. And so I wonder to myself, is this just repetitiveness to emphasize a point like we've seen earlier, or is this something more? Do I really need to dig into this? And so I find it interesting because he said there's the stalk and the head and the full kernel in the head. He gets really specific in this growth about these different stages. And so this is what I came up with in my own mind, and it's this idea, okay? It's a process, the stalk, it's a process, the head, and it's a process, the kernel in the head. You see, we don't know what is happening inside of a person, and there's no way for us to know. And the growth that God causes comes in stages. You see, it's kind of like the Chinese bamboo tree, because the guy can water this thing for a week, he can water it for a month, he can water it for a year, he can water it for 2 years, he can water it for 3 years, nothing happens. He can water it for 4 years, and nothing happens. He can water it for 5 years. And in 5 weeks, on the fifth year, nothing happened. No, I'm kidding. In 5 weeks in the fifth year, the Chinese bamboo tree can grow up to 90 feet after it breaks the ground within 5 weeks' time. And I think to myself, did God create the Chinese bamboo tree to prove a point? It's a process, It's a process. It's a process. And we cannot see what's happening below the ground. Now, I said all that to say this. Did the Chinese bamboo tree grow in 5 years or 5 weeks? I hear a little bit of both. I would propose that it grew in 5 years because if that man who had watered the soil had stopped at any time because he felt like a failure, if 3 years in he had stopped because he couldn't see what was going on beneath the surface, if in 4 years he stopped because he thought, I should be able to make something happen below the ground with this seed, then we wouldn't have the Chinese bamboo tree. This is what we see in the people that we're trying to reach. And I think it's really important to end this parable with the final verse. As soon as the grain is ripe. Now, I looked at this in several different versions. The New American Standard seems to be the closest to the original because it says that when the crop permits, and it gives the idea that all of us have the concept of choice. All of us have the ability to choose. God has given that to each one of us. And it is only when that person permits or when that person makes the choice can they be harvested. And we've all heard these stories, haven't we, of people who somebody talks to about God or somebody has a Bible study with, and you know, years go by and then all of a sudden they become a Christian out of nowhere. Have you heard one of these stories where this has happened? And you think, man, that's amazing because it happened so many years later. And if we see this parable, we see it's what God says will happen. And then these people might go on to change. I've heard stories where they changed hundreds of lives or thousands of lives because of this. So tonight, there may be some of you who, you know, you look at this idea of just talking to others about God and maybe you've done a poor job of it or you feel like you've done a poor job of it. And the question I want to ask as we close is, will you change the world? Because it's not really about others, it's about you and me. And it's about us making this change within ourselves to just make this spiritual socializing a part of our everyday lives. Maybe you're somebody who hasn't done that very well, and that's something you would like prayers for tonight. Maybe you're someone who just needs prayers for some other reason, or maybe you're someone who the seed has been planted in you, and you've made the decision that because God has worked that seed within you, that you want to come to Christ at this time in Acts 2:38 to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Whatever that need might be, please come forward while we stand and sing.